to this home country of bitter memories, 2 months ago, from where he'd sought refuge from his past, in western Kansas, where he'd broken wild horses for ranchers. Why was it the bitterest of pasts that always beckoned the most vigorously? The blaze face black stirred restlessly and turned its head slightly and rolled its copper-tan eyes to glance back along their back trail. "Easy boy," Severance said, leaning forward to pat the horse's left, sweat-lathered wither. "I know they're back there. Been back there since the roadhouse. We'll see to them soon." He did not turn his head to peer behind him. He'd seen the curl of dust several times over the past hour. He remembered the quick, anxious looks of the three men standing at the bar when Severance had entered the roadhouse, bat wings clattering back into place behind him. While the barkeep had filled the schooner foaming full and set it in front of Severance, the three men had conferred in low whispers, one man wringing a gloved thumb across the walnut grips of the gun holstered low on his right thigh. Still, Severance had enjoyed the prickly sensation of the beer washing over his tongue and flowing down his throat to spread its coolness through his belly. It had been a long ride up from Pueblo, where he'd spent the night in a bed-bug-infested flophouse run by a Chinaman. He'd rebuffed the administrations of the man's not unattractive whores. He'd slept, despite the bugs, occasional gunfire on the street, the cloying odor of the midnight oil, and the moaning issuing from the cribs. He'd slept despite the wash of dark memories, making bizarre passion plays of his dreams. Roy, Eva, their daughter Cheyenne. Roy was gone, gunned down by Bloody Joe himself. But what of Eva and Cheyenne? Thunder rumbled. A cool wind from the south lifted the black's tail to brush across Severance's back. He looked up and grimaced against the sting of the first few drops of cold rain. Gray clouds with scalloped edges swirled, closing over him, blotting out the sun. Like the darkest of pasts, the storm had caught up to him, as would the riders behind him. He didn't mind either all that much. It was time to confront both. After all, wasn't that what he'd come back for? To take the bull by the horns, so to speak? To set things right? He gigged the black down off the mesa and into a canyon he remembered hunting years ago, him and Roy as boys. He knew this country, as Roy had, like the proverbial back of his hand. Soon he was holed up in a notch cave with a fire crackling, and the black safely stowed under a stone overhang protected by a large stone escarpment. It was a well-concealed place, but his stalkers found him. They either knew the country as well as he did, or they'd tracked him here. Maybe both. "Hello, the camp," came the cry slicing through the cacophony of thunder, lightning, and slashing rain. "Ride in easy," Severance called, kneeling by the fire over which he'd hung his battered tin coffee pot from an iron tripod. He watched the riders. Three men riding side by side moved slowly up the pine-stippled slope beneath the cave. The rain slashed against their yellow rain slickers and sluiced off the brims of their hats. "You can picket your horses with mine," Severance yelled against the storm's roar, canting his head toward where he'd left the black. The men rode over and unsaddled their mounts, then slouched beneath the weight of their saddles as they clambered up the gravelly slope and into the cave. Severance sat back against the rear wall, legs crossed Indian style, a cup of coffee steaming on one knee. He'd pulled the flap of his own rain slicker back behind the handle of his .44.
"Boy, that coffee sure smells good, friend," said one of his sodden visitors, slapping his funnel-brimmed, badly weathered Stetson against his thigh.
He had a big, square head with thinning brown hair combed back from a pronounced widow's peak. The other two agreed.
"Help yourselves," Severance said.
They each dropped their saddles near the fire, fished cups from their saddlebags, and filled